"A fugitive and a vagabond shalt thou be in the earth," he shouted out. He felt the man's tweezer-like eyes close upon him. "That's what the Lord God said to Cain." He wiped his face with a handkerchief and turned. Brent quickly retreated into the station, the man's words burning in his brain. Being a stranger in a strange land had suddenly lost its appeal.
Okay, we're back with Brent, and he's on another bus trip. The bus has stopped in Texas at the moment, but Brent will be going on to Florida, remember? I think Brent is carrying a big burden around with him, and I'm not talking about his luggage. No matter where he goes, Brent can't escape the knowledge of what he did to Leah, and he can't stop feeling guilty about it. As he looked at that missing child poster in El Paso, he once again felt like a fraud, a criminal passing as an innocent traveler. Let's keep reading where we left off. We're on the top of page 88, after the large space where it says, "The Corn Belt and Wheat Belt."
The Corn Belt and Wheat Belt didn't do the country justice. Brent passed through a dozen unmentioned zones marked by various firsts. First business using Geronimo's name, first cowboy boots on a passenger, first appearance of catfish on a menu, first time being called sugar by a waitress. In East Texas, the landscape's green deepened and the air hung heavy with moisture. He changed buses in Houston, opened Emil's cast-off copy of 2 years Before the Mast, and read all the way across Louisiana. He might almost have been reading his own life. Though the circumstances were different and the year was 1834, Richard Henry Dana had preceded him, setting out on a second existence of his own, leaving the lecture halls of Harvard for a life of travel as a working sailor. No more, Brent promised, would he complain about the bus after reading of the retching, fatigue, perennially wet clothes, and mortal dangers that the author endured. He forced himself to close the book, vowing to make it last.